And turn to the book of Exodus this evening, Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, we studied in chapter 12 the principle of obedience and how we can obey God. And we noted from chapter 12 last Sunday evening that we need to obey God's way, not our way. And sometimes that is the longer way. Sometimes it's the harder path. But God always has a purpose in all that He allows and all that He directs. So it's important that we obey God's way, and God will bless. Here in chapter 13, this section, in chapter 13, specifically from verses 1 to 16, deals with the significance of the firstborn within the nation of Israel. Let's read verses 1 and 2, Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. It is mine. Let's pray. O God, please teach us from your word this evening, O Lord. Help us to have understanding and grant us the grace and humility to apply your word personally. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The firstborn. Why God has first claim on our lives? This is the question we're going to answer this evening. As I've said, this section here in Exodus chapter 13 explains the significance of the firstborn within the nation of Israel. It's amazing when you stop and think about the importance of the firstborn. Most cultures today place a significance upon the firstborn. And I have no doubt in my mind that it extends back to the Word of God, the firstborn. This chapter teaches us that not only was the yearly Passover to remind the Israelites of their deliverance from bondage, but also each time a firstborn male, either man or beast, was born into the world, there was a recollection of God's grace and power in delivering his people out of Egypt. We note that in verse number 3, after the introduction of the firstborn, and Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Because God protected and redeemed his people, and specifically saved all firstborns, for in the last of the tenth of the ten plagues, the firstborn was killed within the land of Egypt. But yet God spared the firstborn within the nation of Israel. And God said that the firstborn is mine. He belongs to me. Now, in verse number 13, the word redeem is mentioned a number of times. Redeem. So this firstborn, the honour of the firstborn, and what took place with the firstborn male and the firstborn animal became known as the ordinance of redemption. And according to verse number 11, this ordinance was to be practiced once in the promised land. Note then verse 11. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swear or promised unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. So this ordinance was to be practiced within the promised land, this ordinance of redemption, dealing with the firstborn. Now, if we had time, we would go to Leviticus chapter 12, and we would go to Numbers chapter 18, where Moses gives us further details concerning the firstborn and this ordinance that became known as the ordinance of redemption. God's deliverance out of bondage, God's deliverance out of Egypt for God's people is a fitting picture of our deliverance from the bondage of sin. So just like the firstborn within the nation of Israel belong to God because of redemption, we, those of us that are saved from sin's penalty and sin's power, are spiritual firstborns. And that's the essence there in application and principle found in the third verse. God has first claim on our lives because he has redeemed us, he has saved us. And this ordinance of redemption dealing with the firstborn was a reminder to God's people that you belong to me. You belong to me. Now let's see why God has first claim, or should have first claim, on your life and on my life, spiritually speaking. Illustrated by the firstborn. The firstborn animal was sacrificed to God. The firstborn male born within a Jewish home, on the behalf of that child, a sacrifice was given. And it was a way to teach and remind God's people that I have delivered you out of bondage. I saved the firstborn. I judged the unbelieving firstborn. I saved the redeemed firstborn, those that were covered by the blood. So therefore, I have redeemed you. You belong to me. You are my firstborn. You are my firstborn. How many of us here this evening are literal firstborns within our homes? Okay. You belong to God. Okay. You are God's. And I don't know about you, I grew up in a household that as the firstborn, I bore the responsibility of all seven children. If anything went wrong, guess who got blamed for it? And if anything needed to be done, guess who had to do it? It was always the firstborn. So I grew up in a culture where the firstborn child was like the patriarch of the household. Outside of mum and dad, it was the firstborn child. And still to this day, I have three brothers and three sisters. They still look to me as the firstborn. It's funny. They look at the black sheep. I'm looking at the white sheep. Yeah, they're the black sheep. And that's how it is. And it's within many cultures today, the significance of the firstborn. And it has spiritual, biblical basis in the Word of God. And this ordinance, just like the Passover, was a means by which God's people could remember their deliverance out of bondage. So we, in a spiritual sense, are firstborns, spiritually. And you and I that are physical firstborns are an illustration of that very fact. Now let's note from our passage of Scripture here in Exodus chapter 13... why God should have first claim upon each of our lives, those of us that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Note there in verse number 2 that it reads, sanctify unto me. That's the first key word that I'd like for you to note this evening, me. Why should God have first claim on my life, on your life? Because number one, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God's sovereignty deals with all that he is in authority and power. And God said to his people, sanctify unto me. Now, providence, when we talk about the providence of God, we are dealing with his works, the way he works, the way he provides. When we talk about his sovereignty, that is in reference to his authority, his power. Now, we tend to practically use these words interchangeably, when it comes to sovereignty, that deals with God's authority, God's power. God has first claim on your life and my life as the redeemed, because we are redeemed, because he is sovereign. He is sovereign. The word king is found no less than 2,500 times in the Bible. Boy, that'd make a good study, wouldn't it? What do you reckon? Great thesis topic. King. The word king. 2,500 times in the Bible, God makes reference to king or kings. Why is that? Because our Lord and Savior is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at his second coming with his saints to the earth to set up his millennial kingdom, he will have on his vesture and thigh King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When the wise men came from the east into Jerusalem, they asked the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? God should have first place in your life and my life because he is sovereign. We read in Philippians 2, 10 and 11 that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God should have first claim on your life and my life because he is sovereign. He said to his people here, sanctify unto me. Did he have the right to make such a statement? Of course he did, because God is sovereign. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. But also note there in verse number 2 of Exodus 13, note the word sanctify. Sanctify. Why should God have first place on our lives? Why should God be first in your life? Why should God be first in my life? Not only because he is sovereign, he is king, he has absolute authority and power, but secondly, because he has a special purpose for each one that he has redeemed with his precious blood. Note the little phrase there, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. We are to be sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart for God's usage. Just like God has a special purpose in all that he has created, he has a special purpose for all those that he has redeemed. We are spiritual firstborns, and God has a purpose for us. And God said concerning the firstborn, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. It's interesting, the first mention of the word sanctified in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 3, where God said, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart from what the other 6 days, that in that he had rested from all his work which God created and made. This day was set apart from the other 6 days for rest. 6 days work, 1 day rest. biblical principle. The world would function far more effectively if we would just honor this biblical principle. Sanctified, set apart for a purpose, a day of rest. And so likewise, God has a special purpose for each one that he has redeemed with his precious blood. In Acts 26:18, the Bible reads, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in him. If you are saved this evening, you are a spiritual firstborn. And God has you marked. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for each of our lives. Therefore, he has first claim upon each of us. Not only is God sovereign, not only does God have a special plan, but thirdly this evening, the principle of sonship. Sonship. Note there at the end of verse number 2, back in Exodus chapter 13, God said concerning the firstborn, "It is mine." God said, "Each firstborn is mine. Every firstborn animal will be sacrificed to me. It is mine. Every firstborn male child will have a sacrifice made on their behalf. The firstborn is mine." And God has first claim to your life, or God should have first claim to your life and to my life because of our relationship to our God. We belong to God. God said, "It is mine." God owns us by redemption. Because God has saved us with his precious blood, we belong to him. He has first claim upon my life. He has first claim upon your life. Micah chapter 6 verse 4, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, slavery. And I sent before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam." So God said, "Listen, I delivered you. I delivered you out of bondage. You are mine. I have purchased you, delivered you out of bondage. You belong to me. You are mine. I have first claim upon your life." I love Revelation 5:9. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book," in reference to the Lord Jesus, "and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." See, John 1:12 teaches us, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Sons of God. When you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a spiritual son of God. No, it's not a mistranslation. It is an accurate translation. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we become a spiritual child, a spiritual son. The son was the firstborn. The firstborn belonged to God. You belong to God because God has delivered you out of bondage. He is sovereign. He has a purpose for you. And you belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 sums it up well, please. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul put it well here. Note verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? There you go. You're not your own. Why? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your what? Body. And in your what? Spirit. Which are whose? God's. Have I convinced you? Have I convinced you? For those of us that are in Christ, we're not our own. We are not our own. You are not free to do as you please. We belong to God. We are sons of God. God said, the firstborn is mine. It's mine. It's mine. If you go back to Exodus chapter 13, note then verses 12 and 13 of this chapter that this firstborn, remember, just like the Passover, the ordinance of redemption or the ordinance in relation to the firstborn was another means by which God's people could remember and reflect on their deliverance, redemption out of Egypt. Note the spelling out of a sacrifice here in verses 12 and 13. Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. Why is that? Because an ass was an unclean animal. So you would, instead of killing, sacrificing the ass or the donkey, you would sacrifice a lamb on its behalf. Thou shalt redeem it. Then thou shalt break, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of man amongst thy children shalt thou redeem. So with every firstborn, in summary, with every firstborn male, with every firstborn beast, a sacrifice was given to God. If it was a firstborn animal, listen carefully, it was sacrificed. It was sacrificed. Unless it was an unclean animal like an ass, as the Bible teaches, then you would sacrifice a lamb in its place. Now, if you weren't willing to sacrifice a lamb in its place, you'd have to kill the ass. It had no right to live. It had no right to live. So that was within the animal kingdom. Obviously, God did not endorse and does not endorse human sacrifices. So with a firstborn male child, parents would bring their firstborn sons to the Lord and offer an appropriate sacrifice. Because God has blessed them with a firstborn son, and they would bring an offering to God. Now, turn quickly with me to Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. Leviticus chapter 12. So specifically verses 6 to 8 gives us some details concerning the offering. For the sake of time, look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Leviticus 12:8, it reads, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. In reference to, if you go back to verse 7, this is the law for her that hath borne a male or female. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 2, we see that this takes place. In Luke chapter 2, with the birth of our Lord Jesus, and he was, note then verse 21, Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then we read on in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, as it mentioned back in Leviticus chapter 12. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So parents would bring their firstborn sons to the Lord and offer an appropriate sacrifice. And we see here in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 24, that Joseph and Mary did exactly that. This is what Joseph and Mary did when they went to the temple to dedicate their firstborn son. They offered a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And obviously because they were poor, they couldn't afford a lamb. So God made provision for his people to give according to that which they had, not what they did not have. And God expects of us, God expects us to give to him what we have, not what we don't have. God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And God said, a rod. And Moses cast that rod before the Lord. And God expects you and I to give what we have. God has given us life in Jesus Christ. God expects us to give our life to God. He's worthy of sacrifice. And the element of sacrifice is so critical to the dedication of the firstborn, because as parents dedicated their firstborn, they gave a sacrifice on the behalf of the firstborn. It was the picture that at a great sacrifice, God has delivered his people out of bondage. And God has delivered you and I because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The first Adam brought sin into this world. The second Adam brings life. But it was at a price. It was at a price. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for our sins so that we can live. So therefore, we belong to God. Now, if you go back to Exodus chapter 13, another reason why God has first claim, or should have first claim upon your life and my life, is that God has spared us from judgment to come. In verse number 15, Exodus 13, chapter 15, it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both of the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeemed. Even though we are not worthy of God's grace, even though we are worthy of death because of our sinfulness, God in his grace has saved us with his precious blood. It was those that were covered by the blood that were spared in the land of Egypt. God has no favorites. For Titus 2:11 reads, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We have not received what we deserve. We have been given grace. Amazing grace, as John Newton put it. Amazing grace. We are not our own. We are spiritual firstborns. We belong to God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Judgment is coming, my friend. And for those that reject salvation, they will not be spared. They will experience eternal separation from God in a place called hellfire. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it reads, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, God has spared us from judgment to come. Therefore, God has claim over my life. It's because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, we are saved and delivered out of the bondage of sin, sin's penalty, sin's power. Therefore, we belong to God. We belong to God. And last but not least this evening, why does God have first place over my life and your life? Well, in it, it's an opportunity for us to share redemption with others. And that's the essence of Exodus chapter 13, verses 14 to 16. From verses 14 to 16. Note verse 14. "It shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this?" So as you prepare to offer that sacrifice, and you are asked the question, what for? It gives parents an opportunity to bear witness of redemption, of the redemption of God's people, to make known the sacrifice involved in providing deliverance. Verse 14 goes on to read, "And thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the hand of bondage." And note verse 16, "It shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." So when a firstborn son was redeemed, that is, a sacrifice was made on the behalf of that firstborn son, or that firstborn animal was sacrificed, it gave an opportunity to explain how God saved alive the firstborn of the Israelites in Goshen. But the firstborns within the remainder of the land of Egypt died. This redemption, this memorial was to be kept. And parents were to bear witness of the redemption of their own people by making it known, by making known what was involved in providing deliverance out of Egypt. This was a way of teaching the fact that we belong to God because of redemption. And this message of redemption needs to be shared with all people. And this is what the shepherds did in hearing and seeing the birth of God's firstborn son to redeem people from their sin in Luke 2:17. They went abroad and shared what they'd heard and seen. It's an opportunity for us to share redemption. The Passover was a way of sharing their redemption story. The sacrifice of the firstborn was a way of sharing their redemption story, how God saved, God protected the firstborn. God delivered the firstborn out of judgment. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, God has first claim upon your life and my life because we are redeemed, and we have an obligation to share that message with others. And as people note your devotion, as people note my devotion, as people see your commitment and my commitment, and the question is asked, what is this? What for? You can simply say, I'm not my own. I've been purchased with a price. Jesus Christ shed his blood for my sin. He was sacrificed on my behalf. And I do not belong to myself. I belong to my God. That's whom I love. That's whom I honor. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. This is a beautiful picture of what God has done for us. In Christ, we are all spiritual firstborns. God has first claim on your life. God has first claim on my life. Does he? Does he? The truth be known for most of us, God doesn't have first place. You have first place. But you're a firstborn. You are a spiritual firstborn. And that's illustrated with the giving of the physical firstborn to God, whether beast or male child. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you've received Jesus Christ as Saviour, you are a firstborn in the spiritual sense. And you belong to God. And he has first claim. He should have first claim in your life and in my life. You could look at me and say, well, Pastor, yeah, well, God's called you into the ministry. Your life is God. Yes, it is. But your life should be God as well. What's the difference? The difference is that God's called me to be a pastor. Maybe God hasn't called you to be a pastor, but God has first claim on your life as much as God has first claim upon my life. Why? Because we are redeemed. God has delivered us out of bondage. So just like the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, that is mentioned there from verses 6 down to verse number 10, was to be kept and honoured on a regular basis to remind God's people of their deliverance out of Egypt. The sacrifice of the firstborn also pointed back to their redemption. And when you read Exodus chapter 13, verses 1, 2 and 3, it's very clear that the giving of the physical firstborn was a picture of the fact that God referred to his people, the nation of Israel, as his firstborn. And God had a purpose for them. And the same way, God has a purpose for your life and God has a purpose for my life. In verse number 9, and I'll close with this, Exodus 13:9, it reads, "And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." So God's people were to be ever mindful of their redemption. And for you and I that are part of the New Testament church, we are to be ever mindful of our redemption, how God has delivered you and I out of the slave market of sin. And therefore, God has ordained his table. He has ordained the communion table as an opportunity for you and I to remember redemption. For God said, "Do this in remembrance of me." For 1 Corinthians 5:7 reads, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." The bread represents his broken body. The grape juice represents his shed blood. Now note then, verse 9, it talks about a sign upon thine hand and a memorial between thine eyes. Unfortunately, Orthodox Jews today have missed the boat totally. They are guilty of strapping portions of God's word to their arms and their foreheads in small pouches in honour of what God commands. So this practice has evolved from this passage of Scripture. It doesn't seem that this is what God had in mind. But because of their blindness, that's what Orthodox Jews do to this very day. They strap portions of God's word around their arm and on their hand and on their forehead, known as phylacteries. In unbelief, they exercise their own mind, not the mind of God. But for you and I that have the mind of God in Christ Jesus, it's so critically important that you and I never lose sight of his redemption. I mentioned it the other week, and I'll mention it again. The deliverance out of bondage is mentioned throughout the Old Testament. You'll find it in the first five books. You'll find it in the major prophets, the minor prophets. You'll find it in the book of Acts. You'll read of it in the book of Hebrews. Time and time again, there is reference to God's deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. Why? Because God wanted his people never to lose sight of their redemption. And for you and I that are Christians, we are to never lose sight of our redemption. And we are reminded once again as we remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ this evening, that God allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed in order to redeem us. And we are not our own. We belong to God. We belong to God. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.